This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Season 5 of Downton Abbey kicks off on Sunday on public television, and late last month, the man who the cast and crew of the show refer to as the Oracle was here in Wisconsin. Alistair Bruce is a decorated figure in the British military, and he's also the historical advisor on films like The King's Speech and The Young Victoria. His latest claim to fame is his job keeping things historically accurate on Downton Abbey. Alistair Bruce sat down to talk with Veronica Rickard about what it takes to get the period details right on Downton and how he got so deeply immersed in the history of post-Edwardian England.
Well, people on Downton Abbey call you the Oracle. How did you get so well-versed in British history of the 1900s and the protocols therein that you've earned that honorary title?
Well, I think that all of us have something that is a cause of great enthusiasm. And for me, it's been historical detail and finding out how people lived in a different time. And because I'm interested, I find it very easy to remember it. And because, fortunately, Downton Abbey requires somebody who's got a little bit of input that can get that kind of fact right, my moment has sort of come through the production of the program. And it's wonderful. They called me the Oracle. I suppose they really, behind the scenes, call me many other things, something like the mosquito or whatever. But I'm very happy to be the Oracle. It sounds incredibly impressive. But thus far, most of the questions that they've given me have been broadly in line with things I can answer.
Well, you keep the Downton crew in line on things like customary greetings, table manners, personal bearing. You prefer, though, to call all of this protocol and not etiquette. How come?
Well, protocol is the instinctive behavior of a time. If you and I had met, we'd have shaken hands. And it would have been a protocol that we wouldn't have had to think about. It would have just happened. Our subconscious would have dealt with it. Whereas etiquette to me is a rather fancified interpretation of how a group of people are supposed to behave, which can be hugely inaccurate and can also be about a refinement that had no real place as the protocol of a time. I think it also is the action taken by someone who is trying to live in a period that was not their own or in a style or in amongst people who are not truly theirs, and they're altering themselves in order to compensate. That's all about etiquette. I don't do that. I'm only interested in the protocols of the time.
Well, a couple of the actors who play servants, including Thomas, say that you've even helped them learn how to walk properly into the room, given their station on the show. So to take Thomas, who's an underbutler, how would an underbutler walk into the room according to the protocols of the day?
I think that what he's really referring to, although I don't know exactly how he was expressing this, is not so much about how an underbutler might walk into a room as opposed to a butler, but how a man of the period that we're covering in the 1920s would have walked in comparison with the way young men walk today. On the whole, young people today tend to be a little bit more slouchy. The foot often gets dragged. There's a bit of a lilt in the way the body moves from side to side. And that's cool. You know, it's what people like to do when they're being amongst their friends and relaxed. And it is the visible expression of the relaxed nature of the time in which we live. By comparison with that, anybody who was working in a house in the 1920s had probably been serving in the British Army during the First World War. They were much more upright. Their shoulders hadn't slid forward. And they held their neck and the back of their collar and their head up.
Hmm. Well, the family in the house and the servants, they do have a very formal way about them. I suppose especially the Granthams. They are the height of propriety, the upper class. As a historian and someone who looks at the protocol of the day, what was it about this period that gave it people that looked to the modern eye so buttoned down and maybe almost repressed in a way?
Well, you point out the family, but I think everyone was buttoned down, as you put it, and that there was propriety retained, not so much even in the family as amongst the staff who worked for them below stairs. I think that the importance of morally perfect lives had become the way in which people lived. And it had come about through a number of reasons. There was the ever-present reality of the Christian upbringing that all of them had had, which made certain requirements of how they should conduct themselves. There was the eternal judgment of others in society that was always ready to find fault with any family that held itself up to have some standard. And, you know, if something went wrong below stairs, that reflected upon the house. But if you were working in the staff of the Grantham's house at Downton Abbey, you wouldn't want any of the daughters of the house to do anything that they should not, because that would reflect on you as a servant in that house. And when you all met in London during the London season, there would be teasing, perhaps, from a footman in the Duke of Devonshire's household for the Crawley staff for anything that had gone wrong. So I think propriety was just part of the way people lived. And the aristocracy, if they were driven to do anything, were compelled by the actions of the French Revolution of 1789 to make sure that they held and set a standard by which they could continue to earn the privileged position that they held in society. Because just doing it by being, I don't know, wealthy or by just being better born was not going to do it. The French experience in the center of Europe, I mean, next door, was enough to get the British aristocracy to sort its ways out completely.
Now, it is TV, after all. You're looking at history, but you're also looking at, you know, what's a hit TV show, and there are plot lines that do get a little racier. You know, Lady Mary, I think it's in season one, has a brief affair with a house guest that ends in scandal. Something like that, which I guess you probably would never have heard about. It probably would not have made the pages of history books. But as the advisor to them, how do you think they did on something like that, where you throw in some a sort of a mix of sex into the historical cocktail that's going on?
Well, I think with any element of the historical cocktail, you work from the research that you've done. You try and make sure that the storyline is maintained as the important element. And just with research, you check to make sure. I mean, I'm a background person. I'm dealing always with what's going on in the side of the eye of the viewer, because the narrative must be the principal entertainment, what holds everybody most fully to watch, what is, after all, entertainment. And I'm just there trying to make sure that the people in the background see things in a sort of correct form, and that the staff are always carrying something that makes sense for that time of day, and that it's that tiny sort of detail in the background that I think reaches out to that other part of people's watching elements, the less active, and makes them feel collectively that they're being transported into the time legitimately.
Did you ever have a battle that you lost where you were going up against some of the people who were, you know, doing the creative side of Downton Abbey, the television show, and you had to say, no, this is not accurate, and they had to say, well, the narrative calls for it, so we're doing this way?
Oh, frequently. And I think in the end there's always a compromise. Again, the entertainment must win out in the end. But what is also terribly, terribly important is that we make sure that that narrative is set within a correct historical precedent. Now, in the filming of the latest series, which America has not yet seen, there was one point where they filmed a bed with a sheet and no blanket, and an eiderdown on the top. And I said, you can't have a sheet without a blanket. And they said, well, Alistair, I'm sorry about that, but we've already shot the wide shot, which means they were into the process of actually filming the scene. And anyway, a blanket's off-white and a sheet's white. You probably won't even see it. I said, but you must have a blanket. So there was a bit of a set-to between me and the director. And I was told to forget my blanket on this occasion. And I went off to talk to the producer. And the producer was as horrified as I was. They were filming a bed with a sheet and not a blanket.
Really?
And she came down and stopped the filming. We put a blanket on and reshot the wide shot.
Wow. So that level of detail is accurate.
Well, I don't think they liked me very much that day. I think the oracle is not the term that was applied to me collectively by that very hard-working production team. And I know it does seem pretty irrelevant, and I'm sort of a bit embarrassed about having laid my colours to the mast, but you can't treat a 1920s bed like a teenager's duvet bed in the present time. It's just not like that. Those houses ran the structure of the way in which those beds were laid out by the housemaid every single day in exactly the same way, according to a routine which never changed, could be used to set a Swiss watch.
When you look back over your contribution to Downton Abbey and the show that it's become, the accolades and the love that's heaped upon it, what are you proudest of?
Well, I'm proud of the whole team and the fact that we have managed almost just by getting on with our work to produce something that people love. And you just can't work out what it is that the public are going to like. You could sit down with your typewriter and produce something as similar to Downton Abbey as you might be able to imagine, and it will not work in the same way. So I think I'm also very proud of knowing Julian, who I think has been the most marvellous success as a writer for entertainment, because he's brought new questions of history to light in a very marketable form, and he's been a fantastic friend, and I've always loved working with him.
Well, thank you so much for joining us.
Not at all. Thank you so much indeed.
That was Downton Abbey's historical advisor, the Oracle, Alistair Bruce, talking to Veronica Rickert late last month about getting the historical details right on the show, by the way. Season 5 looks like it starts on public TV on Sunday. This is Central Time here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.